Podcast.
This is the National Gallery Podcast, and I'm Miranda Hinckley. In this month's show, artist Michael Landy tells us what's inspiring him, and all the latest on this autumn's big exhibition at the gallery, Leonardo da Vinci, painter at the Court of Milan. But we begin with a visit to our major exhibition, Jan Gossaert's Renaissance. One of the many surprises of this show is the overt sensuality with which Gossaert treats the depiction of naked human flesh. This, as it turns out, was very much to the taste of the man who became his main patron. Leah Caribbean met the art historian Paula Nuttall in the exhibition to find out more.
Paula, we're here in front of a depiction of the goddess Venus that Gossaert painted in 1521. And I wondered if you could start by describing it to us and telling us what it is about Gossaert's depiction of the nude that sets him apart, really, from other painters in the Low Countries.
Well, Gossaert's nude is an extraordinarily erotic visualisation of Venus. She's standing in front of us, very much presenting her entire naked beauty to the observer. And she's gazing at herself rather lovingly in a mirror. She has got these wonderful silken tresses, which I think would have also themselves been very erotic at the time, because we've got to remember that ladies went around with their heads very firmly covered in this period, so it's not just her naked flesh but actually her hair that is lending to her sort of erotic appeal. And then of course her left hand is placed very sort of humorous mixture, I think, of concealing and revealing there in the way that the hand is placed. This is a pose that goes back to classical antiquity, the idea of the modest Venus who is covering her nakedness. But of course, her fingers are parted in just such a way that nothing is concealed at all.
Yes, she's actually really very rude, isn't she?
Very rude.
Now, yeah. It's thought that this picture was painted for Gossaert's patron, Philip of Burgundy. Who was he?
Philip of Burgundy was the youngest of many illegitimate children of Philip the Good, Duke of Burgundy, in the 15th century. And it seems that Philip's father, Philip the Good, was himself a man who loved the pleasures of the flesh because he had many, many illegitimate children. And it seems that some of these tastes may have been inherited by his son. But Philip was a member of, obviously, of the sort of highest class in the Netherlands, a man of royal descent. He was admiral of the fleet during the period that Gossaert was working for him. He rather bizarrely then became Bishop of Utrecht.
Bishop?
Yes. It's a slightly unlikely career path, but yes, from admiral to bishop. More seriously, he was, I think, also one of the most cultivated, learned men of his day in the Low Countries. He was esteemed as somebody who was interested in the sort of Italian humanist world, and I think that's reflected in the choice of subjects that, you know, he gets Gossaert to paint for him, these mythological subjects. Philip is also supposed to have been a trained artist himself, which is, of course, fascinating for someone from his class, very unusual. But he is supposed to have been trained both as a painter and as a goldsmith. And it's interesting that there are some exquisitely painted pieces of metalwork, goldsmith's work, in the Gossaert Venus, which perhaps reflects those interests.
There's a really interesting little picture that's hung quite close to the Venus here in the exhibition that shows the two mythological figures, Hercules and Deianira. And the picture, again, has this really quite strong erotic content. The pair of the figures are nude. They've got their legs all wonderfully intertwined. And I was just wondering, is it a case that Philip's interest in the erotic, was that just peculiar to him?
I think Philip was very interested in the erotic, but I don't think it's peculiar to him. We actually know that he made presents of erotic paintings to several of his friends, so they presumably shared his tastes. But more importantly, there was, I think, a huge tradition of erotic imagery in the north of Europe long before Gossaert's time. Very little of this survives today, but there's plenty of documentary evidence for that kind of thing. And I think what Gossard is doing is actually updating a very long-standing tradition of, I think, quite explicit images, actually. He's updating this tradition in Italianate terms, you know, making it trendy for the early 16th century art lover.
Wonderful. Thank you very much.
Thanks to Paula Nuttall. Jan Gossart's Renaissance closes on the 30th of May, so don't miss this unique exhibition. Tickets are available from the gallery or online with a booking fee at www.nationalgallery.org.uk. Every few years, a contemporary artist is invited to make the gallery their home. They work in a studio within the building and have full access to the collection and all that goes on behind the scenes. The latest appointee is Michael Landy, best known in recent years for Art Bin, a project about failure that saw him offer fellow artists the chance to throw away work they were disappointed with. It's a year since Landy became the National Gallery's artist in residence, so we sent Colin Wiggins from the Education Department to find out how he's been getting on.
Michael, you've been here a little while now and you've started drawing, and you're drawing from a very limited range of pictures. Basically, we've got the El Greco, the Degas, the Cezanne, and this funny thing. Do you want to tell us about this picture that I'm describing as this funny thing?
Yeah, that's Dosso Dossi's Lamentation over the Body of Christ, and I'd never heard of Dosso Dossi, and you've obviously got a couple of pictures upstairs. And this is only a very small painting, but I've made it into a much larger watercolour drawing. And it's got the three Maries, I think they're called, and they're kind of hovering over the body of Christ, and he's just laying on the floor horizontally, and they're kind of weeping over him. And I guess what really attracted to me in the first place was just the actual passion, the sort of raw passion of the painting, really, and the women themselves, really. They've got these really very distinctive kind of faces, and their arms are just absolutely massive. They're like Jeff Capes kind of shot putter from the 1970s arms. So it's just a raw passion that really interested me in the beginning. And obviously what I'm doing is I'm drawing paint, basically, and so the paint cracks, so I try to draw in the cracks as well. I'm just the actual drawing itself, I don't put in the background or anything, so it's just the actual figures, so it kind of hovers on a white piece of paper.
And then on this scale, because as you point out, the original painting of Dosso Dossi's is very, very small. It's kind of A4 size. And you've done a drawing that must be, 6 feet high? And that, to me, really brings home the distortions in the original painting. Those incredibly short, stumpy arms that you talked about as if they're shot putter arms. But also it does weird things to the faces, doesn't it? These huge foreheads and then little tiny pinched features in the middle of it. Had you really noticed that before you started drawing it?
Yeah, that's kind of what attracted, because it was just such an unusual kind of painting, and I guess that's why I was drawn to it. And I mean, you made a good observation about I've only basically drawn three paintings from the collection. At the moment, I don't seem to want to draw any more, so it kind of feels like that's enough for me at the moment.
So you're really forming a relationship, as it were, with just a small amount of pictures and drawing them again and again and again.
Yeah, that's kind of what I normally do. It's kind of attach onto something and then kind of repeat it.
And do you know why you do that?
No.
Why you move on to something else?
Not really. I don't know. They're just the kind of they're the particular paintings that I'm drawn to try and copy. And no, I mean, I look upstairs, and is there any other victims that I could draw? But there isn't at the moment.
So you've drawn from this painting, but there's always an intermediary in terms of the photograph. You get a photograph ordered and you work from that. Is that purely because you don't want to be working in front of people, or is there another reason?
What, that I can't draw? But no, I think it's... I think drawing in front of people, it becomes more performative in a sense. And, you know, I mean, downstairs I can literally, you know, staple my drawing that I'm working on to the wall, which I don't think you'd be very happy with in the galleries. So I think, but I quite like the idea, like we were talking before about artist in residence and exactly what that means and how visible one should be, really, as artist in residence.
You almost said artist in reverence then. Well, that was a Freudian slip, wasn't it? So I'm going to pick you up on that, because we can't let that go. Are you a bit in awe of these paintings as artist in reverence?
Well, obviously I am. And I think actually before I came here, much more so than since being here, because I'm sort of down in the bowels of the gallery, but you know, what's great about here, you can just pop up into the gallery and just look at something, one painting in particular, and you can take that away with you.
In a state of due reverence.
Obviously.
Michael Landy talking to Colin Wiggins. If you want to see the work that's inspired Michael for yourself, it's Lamentation Over the Body of Christ by the 16th century painter Dosso Dossi. And now a behind-the-scenes glimpse of preparations for the gallery's much-anticipated exhibition, Leonardo da Vinci, Painter at the Court of Milan. Advance tickets for this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to see the master's work go on sale this month. And with just 6 months to go before the opening in November, what's it like to be the show's curator, Luke Sison? Leah Caribbean went to find out.
Luke, we're here in your office, surrounded by books and paperwork, and there's 6 months left to go. What's still left for you to do?
Sometimes it feels like practically everything. On other saner days, I realise that we've already got quite far. So lots of decisions, really, about where things go, how they're labelled, how they're explained. And then I suppose, above all, some very key loans just to pin down at this last stage. Discussions that have been going on for quite a long time. People don't lend pictures by Leonardo lightly, and there's so few of them. And, you know, they're so important for each institution as emblems of the particular galleries that contain them, apart from the else. So I think, there have been discussions that have been going on literally for years in some cases.
And is there anything in particular that's keeping you awake at night?
It's funny enough, I think it's probably the sort of cumulative stuff as much as anything else. Little things, and big things, and little things that can become magnified into big things in the middle of the night especially. I suppose the thing that's keeping me most awake at night is the idea that we have, I think, pulled off a show which will be amazing. And I need to finish a catalogue which is up to par, which is as good as it should be. And Leonardo's a very, very difficult artist. This is a real challenge. Be a challenge for anybody, I think. But what we're trying to do is explain an artist who wasn't just a painter, he was a painter-philosopher. And therefore, I've had to get my head round an extraordinary range of things that Leonardo was interested in. And, you know, it's like being a tiny little person trying to understand a giant, and that's part of the thing that's making me... giving me the heebie-jeebies every now and then.
I'm not surprised at all. Now, the show, I know, has got some absolutely amazing loans. And once you've got this fantastic exhibition list together, how do you go about deciding what's going to be hung where?
Well, I think it's probably easiest to explain that in front of the 3D model that we use and some layouts and so on. And I'll take you to where we keep that now. So here we are with the cardboard model of the temporary exhibition galleries of the Sainsbury Wing. And what I'm provided with by our design department is tiny, tiny little sort of postage stamp reproductions of each of the pictures and drawings that is going in the show, or that we hope will. So sometimes it's a bit speculative, this. But on the whole, what we're doing with this is using the shapes of the rooms to work out absolutely where everything will go. If we fail to achieve a loan, then it comes off the wall and a little bit of blue tack is stuck somewhere else. And so that's what we got there. And what I'm thinking about is the logical order in terms of the story we want to tell, but also the visual impact and how those two things relate to each other. So, for example, we've got our own version of the rocks on the vista in the big room, But equally, we want to take people through the sequence of rooms at the beginning, and those climax with the Saint Jerome coming from the Vatican. And of course, the other thing we're doing here is thinking about, well, these spaces are going to be crowded, and so do we have to tell a story in a completely linear way, or can it be one where the story builds up, even if you see things in a slightly different order?
Now, there are 6 months to go, but can you actually at the moment picture yourself at the opening, you know, proud curator at the opening, or is it a case that there's just still too much to worry about?
I think it would be fair to describe my state of mind at the moment as a bit of a roller coaster, in that at my most optimistic, I think this is going to be the most extraordinary assemblage of works by Leonardo that have ever been seen in one place. And then the enormity of the task of pulling that off suddenly will make me sit up in bed at 3:30 in the morning. And so I'm just really waiting to see those last loans fall into place. And then at the same time, of course, I'm finishing off the catalogue, and I need that to be worthy of a really great show.
I'm sure it will be. Thank you so much, Luke.
That's a pleasure.
Thanks to Luke Sison. Leonardo da Vinci, painter at the Court of Milan, opens in November. But as we've heard, advance tickets go on sale from the 10th of this month. To be sure of getting yours, visit www.nationalgallery.org.uk. That's it for this episode. If you're visiting, don't forget we're open 10 till 6 and 10 till 9 on Fridays. Till next month, goodbye.